You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear.
Russia! And welcome to the 8-4 Play Podcast. I am your host, Robert Donald. I'm going to stop talking about like that because it's really annoying.
Yeah, hi.
This is how it coasts out.
Mark, Game Jesus McDonald. Whoa, John with a rare impression.
Yeah.
I think that's the second one you've done on the show ever.
I don't know what
Beavis
the first
and Butthead. And that. JJ, meanwhile.
Quite the repertoire.
JJ's like 77
JJ
different
Rich
ones.
Little. Epperson to my right. I'm sorry, that's not his proper nickname. This is, of course, though, before we get ahead of ourselves, the first, only, greatest, most consistent podcast about Japan and games and Japanese games. Any kid in his basement can make a podcast, all right, folks?
That's good. I'm truth is out there. Just like any
in, punching out, time clock, yes. Week after week.
We're fucking dedicated.
We're here. I'm tired.
Yeah.
JJ's tired. John's tired. Hiroko's not even here because
she's so tired.
It's been a long week. If you've been following us on Twitter, you might have an idea of kind of why. PAX is coming up, folks. PAX hype boat. PAX hype something because PAX is going to be great this year. And it's actually started as you're listening to this.
Right.
That's right.
And we're going to be there. And so that's cool. Please say hi to us. We want to hear from you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we might have to go somewhere, but like, we still want to say hi. That doesn't mean anything. We're going to be hopefully at the concerts on Friday night. Well, first of all, the reason that we're going to be there is two, actually, big reasons we're going to be there.
Yes,
two separate
right.
reasons we're going to be there. One of which we've talked about, that is Keiji Inafune, ex-head of Capcom, the guy behind Mega Man, worked on Onimusha.
Swell dude.
Dead Rising, all-around super guy. Apparently, he's been kidnapped recently, and you have to help rescue him in some dating sim.
Yeah, there's some sort of dating game.
What is it called? It's like the Bomb, the Fuse.
I don't know. He like guest stars in games. This isn't even the first time he's guest starred.
That's true. But we're not going to talk about that, because that's not why he's going to be there at PAX. He's actually going to be there to be in a panel that we, 8-4, helped set up for him. And we've actually been... We do little things like this every once in a while.
Yeah.
We helped set up interviews with the press the next day, and some fan sites and some other stuff. But he's giving a panel that's on Saturday. If you're going to PAX, 4:30 to 5:30, Kraken Theater. That's Kraken, K-R-A-K-E-N, not
unleash
Kraken.
The Kraken.
Do
get
not
Kraken.
Go to the Kraken, C-R-A-C-K-I-N, so, apostrophe theater, because that's a very different place.
Not get Kraken, release the Kraken.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But it will be also live streamed if you're not in vicinity of
good
the
point.
Kraken or Kraken theaters.
Very good point. It will be live streamed at twitch.tv/PAX2. That is the official Kraken Theater live stream. And it will be Kraken, C-R-A-C-K-I-N.
Oh.
Because we've... Jeremy Parrish is hosting it, which that should be announced by then, but I'm announcing it now.
if it hasn't been.
Who is, like, super educated on Inafune stuff, has written extensively about his stuff in Mega Man and whatever. I've seen his list of questions. It's awesome. He has some surprise things. Like, he had things that I had no idea about. And we've been working with them on this for a couple months now. Mm. So I feel like I know a lot about Inafune. But Inafune is also, like, a super awesome guy. We've met with him a few times recently.
Yeah.
Been in Shinagawa meeting with those guys at his company, Concept. Anyway, so that's on Saturday. That's been a big, like... time suck. That's been something with just a big deadline that we had looming. But of course, at the same time, we have this other thing, which is the thing that we've kind of been alluding to on and off on this podcast a bunch. And it sounds like it is, I don't want to 100% say anything ever, but it sounds like it's going to be announced at PAX sometime during PAX. And so,
what could it be?
Yeah, if that gets announced, that's going to be really exciting for us. We've kind of alluded to it in a lot of weird ways. It's not, it's born out of everything that we've done. It makes sense that we're doing it, and yet it's not exactly like the stuff we've done up until now. So, right. I think we're really excited and also probably more nervous than we are about normal projects. We don't normally talk about projects in this way, right?
Right.
Right. Mm. But this one we're pretty heavily involved in from pretty early on. And so I'd be really excited to see what people think, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I really, really, really hope people are going to like it, because we've worked really, really, really hard to try to make sure that it's something that people really enjoy and get excited about. So
we're excited about it. I think that's one good sign, at least, is we're...
It's something... It's one of those projects where it's like, yeah, it's like, this is what I want to be doing. You know, it's not like, okay, the money is good for this or whatever. It's like...
Right. This is why we're here.
Exactly.
This is why we're on this planet, Mark.
It is totally. And, like, I know it's probably annoying talking about stuff at length when you can't say what it is, but... So, hopefully, assuming that gets announced... you'll be hearing from us sooner rather than later, like when we can talk about it.
And you're going to know it when you see it, I think.
I think people will know, Like, if, when they see it, I think people will know that, okay, that's the thing that people, that we were talking about. And in that vein, we apologize if this show itself is maybe not your typical show.
Suffers for it.
Starting with the fact that there's only three of us here. Hiroko just had to leave. We're recording this later than normal, a lot later than normal,
and
well, later and earlier, because we're actually recording it earlier in the week than we normally would, but later at night than we normally would.
And our normal recording computer decided to die on us.
That's right.
I'm using a MacBook Air.
I hope this sounds good.
So not only that, we have to get on a plane tomorrow and go to PAX, but we wanted to have this podcast for sure because a lot of news has actually happened. As I kind of know, because before I go to sleep, like, I look at Twitter for an hour, and
we played
some
games.
Literally been that. I honestly don't. I'm going to be reading news like from like people joke about how our news is just like reading Gaff.
Right.
This week, it's literally going to be me like reading it the first time. Like, oh, what's this? Why is everybody talking about the GameCube?
What you're doing? You're not just reading the Gaff threads. You are doing live commentary as it happens.
That's right. You get the live.
It's a new brand of journalism.
That's right. It's it removes the time it takes you to type stuff on Twitter
or think about it.
This is news. This is new.
Straight from my brain. Yeah, it's like you can hear the neurons firing.
One important thing though. Who are we?
What do you mean?
Well, we know who Mark Gaming Jesus is, but what about the?
Oh, right. Who are you guys?
Yeah.
Do you want to introduce yourselves? You want me?
Well,
to
you have things written down.
See, you peek at your nickname?
No, I just see the scribbles, and I know that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I can't read your handwriting.
All right. So, who are you, you guys? You other two who are not.
I'm JJ
Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald. You are JJ Click It Right Epperson.
Okay. Yeah. Because recently I've been using iTunes Radio to listen to music.
You can just sing it.
Really?
You don't have to explain it. Just sing
pick it. Pick it, baby. Pick it right. You know.
I think I said to like click this or click that or something.
Right.
And you're like, click it right. And then that song is now stuck in the head of probably
yes
everyone who's listening to this podcast.
Good.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the... Wait, so that the lyrics for that song are actually click it?
It's whip it.
Oh, whip it. Okay, that's what I was going to say. Like, I never knew it was click it if that was the case. So I was about to like basically say that I am like totally embarrassed to have not known what that song was.
I can't give John the click it right nickname, at least this week. Now I want to give John the click it right nickname, but that's going to have to be...
I thought I was really losing my mind.
It was very ahead of its time, even though it was like 1980. that is John Rathalos Roll Ricciardi. I didn't go with Nintendo Nut.
Yeah,
Ricciardi.
Nintendo Nut.
Although you probably
somebody
don't know what that means.
Somebody mentioned that. Kyle mentioned that.
Yeah, because
Twitter.
It was on...
Oh, somebody posted a scan of EGM or something where it said like I was a Nintendo Nut.
Right.
Yes, EGM veteran Ricciardi flew in to help us with our GameCube special feature. You won't find a bigger Nintendo Nut than him.
That was back when it probably was true.
Yeah.
But. That's what it said. Are you saying it's no longer true? Are you saying you will find bigger Nintendo nuts?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
There are bigger Nintendo nuts.
Who are some bigger Nintendo nuts you know besides Kyle?
Well, he was the one I was going to say. Okay. Kyle's friend of the show, Kyle McLean, is definitely one of our friend super Nintendo nuts. I don't know. There are a lot of Nintendo nuts. I'm a huge Nintendo fan, but
You're pretty up there.
Yeah.
I would say. You're pretty far up there.
Punched me and beat me down pretty hard.
Did you fly into... Were you in San Francisco? Was that even in San Francisco when that issue was going to press or something?
Why? No, I was doing Japan stuff from here for EGM for years. So
but let's say you flew in for...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe I did.
Maybe you were running through. You don't remember?
I worked out of the office sometimes.
Yes, as I was saying before...
Rathalos Roll, though, is something all y'all should look up. It's awesome. Where is that from, actually? Like, are they...
I think you can get it... Like, it's odd, but I think it's like you can buy it off the Bandai store. It comes with
an... order a cake from the mail?
The Bandai store?
Yeah, because it comes with
the Capcom store?
It comes with a knife.
Well, Bandai makes the toys or whatever, yeah. I guess.
Bandai makes the Capcom...
Toys? I think. I don't know.
Don't quote me on this. This is JJ.
I just saw it on a Gath thread like 5 minutes ago.
It just seems wrong.
But anyways, it comes...
I saw the knife. Knife.
How do you say his name? I always forget. Sadus?
Sidious, maybe?
Sidious?
I don't even know.
The greatsword that you can make from his parts is the knife that you cut the Rathalos roll cake.
That's amazing.
The Rathalos roll cake on the top, it looks like a Rathalos scale running across the top.
By the way, this is Monster Hunter talk for those of you who don't know.
But dude, there's only like 3 more weeks till...
That's right.
There's going to be like a 4-hour Monster Hunter podcast.
Wait a minute, our next episode is like 2 days, a day after we get it.
Oh, fuck.
What? Oh, shit.
We pre-ordered it. So it comes out on a Saturday, but we pre-ordered at a place that's going to sell it to us on Thursday. So we'll have it 2 days early.
That's right. So, yeah, look forward to that. Something that reminded me of... Oh, have you seen... I think they had their, like, Monster Hunter Onsen Adventure thing recently. They're, like, hot springs trip adventure here.
Whoa.
In Japan, where you, like, pay, and it's, like, a Monster Hunter-themed weekend.
Oh, that would be fun.
Where you go to an onsen and probably play Monster Hunter the whole time.
Yeah.
Rip horns off of them. It sounds pretty awesome, though, right? Except for, like, you, like, these Monster Hunter-themed buses roll up, pick you up, take you to an onsen, which, if you don't know, all you do at an onsen, a Japanese hot spring, is, like, sit in hot or cold water, and then...
Naked.
Just like lie around and eat,
relax.
That's all you do. Yeah, just relax for like a couple days. But that plus playing Monster Hunter, maybe we should have an 8-4 Monster Hunter 4 onsen weekend.
That's a really good idea.
Just our own, make our own theme of it. We've been working really hard, 80-hour, 90-hour weeks.
Well, mostly you have. I've been working.
That's true. JJ hasn't done shit. no, you've been working hard.
Yeah.
You've been working hard too.
I'm here now.
So, yes, so that is a long way of explaining with a lot of pit stops along the way why it's going to be like reading like, oh, what is this?
This
like,
is a meandering.
So, yeah, I expect a lot of corrections from this podcast. Let's put it that way. And also, I expect a very short, what have you been playing?
What? Really? I've been playing stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you have, because John, I'm guessing you have not.
I don't think so. Not since the last podcast. No, not really.
Any more Mario and Luigi Dream Team?
No, I still do like my 30 minutes of Animal Crossing a day, like on the bus or on the train or whatever, but that's it.
Pikmin 3?
Haven't even got back to it. I want to really bad, but just no time.
Wonderful 101, JJ.
Yes, been playing. I got the full game.
Oh,
yes.
Man. I bought that too, and it's still on the shrink wrap. Ugh.
Did you bought the retail?
Bought the retail, yes.
Okay. And, well, let's update on that. We talked about it last episode, so if people want kind of more a first impression on the demo, that's actually not out. It kind of oddly came out here in Japan and Europe around the same time, but America was delayed again, kind of like Pikmin 3. Yeah. There's this, like, 3-week delay happening between territories. But anyway, it's happening with Wonderful 101.
Yes.
There's been a lot of asks. I don't know if you guys have been reading that.
Yeah,
I haven't.
There's one really just with Kamiya, and then there's one actually on Wonderful 101. There is a lot of interesting stuff in that. I encourage people to read that.
I was
going to
wait until I finish the game, if I finish the game.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know you were like that on this one. Okay, so update. Last time, first impressions, you were like, played it more. We're like, wow, this is actually really deep, good combat.
Yeah.
Now you've bought the full retail game.
It's weird because, like... my opinion of it is like, this is garbage. This is amazing. This is garbage. Amazing, garbage, amazing,
actually,
garbage.
It sounds like you might, I mean, from some of the reviews I read, it sounds like you might not be alone. And, yeah, and at least thinking that parts of it are amazing and parts of it, I'm curious, how far are you into it?
So I'm in the second half of the third mission. And this is another thing, is like, I've been playing...
How long? Give me some other metric. That means nothing to me.
8 hours?
Oh, okay.
I've been playing the game for a long... The levels are long. Long.
So let me ask you...
Tiresome.
One thing that really hit me when I read it, and I was like, oh boy, I don't know, is that I read there's a lot of repetitive enemies. And
yes,
in fact, the same bosses you'll fight, not just like... I mean, same in quotes, but like, maybe it's color swapped or... maybe with a new attack, I'm not sure, but basically the same boss more than just twice. Like,
yeah, there's one character, he's like your arch nemesis rival dude who also has like powers like the Wonderful 101, and he comes up from time to time, and his fights are the worst things in the game. They're like,
just because it's
you can't
repetitive?
See, well, it's repetitive. You can't see what's going on. It's kind
of cheap.
That
was another complaint, actually, from places about not being able to see what's going on.
Well, most of the time it's not that bad, but in that fight, because he also has 100 people with him, so it's just like,
oh, wow, that
they're
sounds
all
really,
like,
that sounds really cool.
It could have been, but the thing is, like, it gets all mixed up and you can't tell what's going on.
Right.
I hate those fights, but other than that,
okay,
the fights have been really fun and awesome, and like, you know, I thought I had gotten a really good grasp of the combat, but then I watched like a... kind of, well, I wouldn't call it a pro player, but someone who's obviously very good at the game playing it.
Scary,
I was like,
Larry.
Okay.
Where'd you watch that?
On YouTube.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, I'm totally doing it wrong.
Really?
Yeah, because like the guy was playing it like you would play a DMC game. I'm just like spamming like Berserker Barrage all the time.
Right.
And like this guy was like playing it. It was all finesse. The enemy was like going up and down. He was slamming him, doing all sorts of crazy shit. And I'm just like,
It sounds like what you were saying last time, though, on the demo even, you learned to do some stuff. It sounds like it's just super deep. The combat is actually like super deep.
I'm
sad you haven't read the Iwata Asks, because not to ruin anything, but there's a move in the game, or like a system in the game, that they added at the very end of production. In fact, Kamiya, the director, didn't tell the Nintendo like producer that he added it. He just added it because it was kind of like too late to go through bug testing or whatever.
Okay.
And apparently it's like a real important facet that kind of like made everything gel and click.
Do you remember what it is?
That's the thing. I mean, we can look it up or something like that. But it was one of the...
That must have been in the team you want to ask, right? Because I only read the single one. I haven't read the second one.
Oh, is it maybe the multi-attacks where you can send out multiple things at once? Or
I'll find it.
That seems like such a core element of the game, though.
I'll find it during the podcast, and we can talk about it later, so if you don't know about it. But anyway, yeah, I encourage people to definitely read that. So 8 hours in, do you have a rough idea? Are you like half through?
I know that there are 9 stages.
I'm
a third of the way through. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I've got all but one of the Wonder colors. It's Wonder Black is all I have left.
Is the is it varying up, or is it just pretty much a pretty straight?
It's not
beat-em-up?
Really. Like, there are some sort of non beat 'em up elements from time to time. Like, you'll be climbing these walls, and sometimes, like, depending on the color, like a lot of the puzzle elements come from when you're using the gamepad.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, this one puzzle that I just did was you're inside a building climbing up walls, and on the outside there's the spaceship and 3 different colored grates. There's like a green grate, a red grate, and a blue grate. And the ship will hover around and electrify a certain color grate. So like it'll electrify the red grate, and I'll be climbing, and then I'll see around me any grate that's red will start like flickering and turning into electricity. And if I stand on that while that's like electrified, then I get knocked down or whatever like that.
Okay.
Something like that. So you have to be like looking up and down and up and down.
Simple environmental kind of.
Yeah. And then there's other like weirder things where you're like controlling a ship, but to control the ship, you move, like, you'll be looking at the gamepad and there are 4 buttons in this room.
Yeah.
And you have to walk from button to button to move the ship around.
Okay.
And jump and fire and stuff like that. That was really kind of a pain in the ass. But
the part in the demo where you're in the room and you had to like, I forget, you had to like do the safe combination or whatever, like in the demo, like that was my my least favorite part of the game.
Those
like,
are kind
of camera controls in there are like, they're so up close. You can't see anything. And it's just like, oh, just get me out.
That's,
I can't take
that's
this.
That's basically my one problem with those, is that the camera controls are terrible. It's too close. And kind of my least favorite parts of the game are when they use the gamepad stuff. Like, it's novel, but at the same time, the implementation's a little...
Let me ask, are you using the gamepad screen or right stick to make your transformations?
I'm using
the
right stick. Only the right stick.
Why is that?
Just because I don't like taking my hand off to touch the screen.
So, would this game be significantly different or worse without... Is this a... Like, wow, yeah, this game really uses the Wii U pad in other ways. Like, this game couldn't really be done
without... You could make this game without the gamepad, I feel.
It's not essential.
Yeah. I mean, they do some things with it, but, like, I don't think they're essential things.
You're going to keep playing, though?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to finish it.
Okay. So you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it is a love-hate. Like, I'm in love with it, and then there are sections that just really piss me off.
Right.
But, you know... Yeah,
okay.
I'm liking it, though.
I love reading the interviews with Kamiya, not just the Iwata ass, but he went, like, on a press tour, too, and, like, a lot of people have been talking to him, but, like, it's really... It reminds me that I really, really like that guy. Like, I wish he would stop tweeting, because I think he's fooling everybody into thinking he's a dick when he's actually a really cool guy, like, with some really interesting insights.
Yeah,
like,
it comes across like a completely different person on Twitter.
Right.
And they actually talk about that in one of the interviews, where it's like... Yeah, the Nintendo guys all thought he was going to be like a total dick about these changes and asking him to do stuff because of his Twitter personality. They like straight up say that.
I love how he basically like changed how he acted towards the producer when he found out the producer made Tetris Attack.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Cool. Exactly.
He's like, worship started. He's like, I wish I heard this. I found out about this earlier in the project.
Isn't that always the way with those Nintendo guys, though? You like meet them and then like you find out like a week later, it's like, oh, yeah, that guy like... is the scenario planner from Super Mario RPG. Worked at Square for 2 years. It's like, what? Like, I never even heard his name before.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, he like did all the boss designs in the like Zelda 3 or something.
Right.
It's like, what? Like, you realize like there's
legends.
All these guys, just who should be, you know, complete, have their own studios if they were in the West, you know, have their own Kickstarters, you know, fucking be whatever, household names, and they're just like... Yeah, like
dudes. Nope,
just some
employee
dudes.
Number 347.
He manages the spreadsheets on project number 72 now.
So JJ, what are some of these other lots of games?
So I also played Dive Kick.
Ah, okay.
I saw you complaining about that on Twitter.
I'll be interested. Yeah, what's your take on that? Friend of the show, Craig Cuyaba, Iron Galaxy Studios. Feel good story in terms of, hey, here's kind of this funny thing that was kind of born out of it. A lot of hype, a lot of buzz from, like, GDC and stuff like that.
The gameplay itself, like, the concept of Dive Kick is still really appealing to me.
Which is a fighting game where you are always basically one hit away from death. All you can do is jump into the air and then basically dive kick down at an angle. Originally made to make fun of these characters, especially at the time, in Street Fighter 4, at least, where, what's their name?
It was Yun and Yang.
Yeah, we're like dominating and everybody was choosing them. And not Rufus also.
Rufus also had
a pretty powerful dive
kick. Well, there's a character in the game that, like, each of the characters of the game have a dive kick from... a character in like a Capcom game. There's like one character called, his name is Redacted, and he's this giant Wolverine.
You mean in Dive Kick?
In Dive Kick, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he has Wolverine's dive kick from Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, okay.
But I
was surprised. It almost seems like, because the whole idea was, okay, it's this simplified, I mean, it's kind of born of a joke, but now the idea became, it's a simplified, all there is jump and attack. It's two buttons. Anybody can play it. Anybody can pick it up. But then the idea was, okay, there's this depth that you can actually figure out if you're into it. But, like, looking at it, I was like, whoa, you're actually choosing... It actually looks like it started to get a little... I mean, relatively to any other fighting game, don't get me wrong, it is but simple.
Yes.
But it looked complicated compared to the idea that I had of it. I mean, I saw people with, like, different trajectories. You, like, choose gem attacks or whatever.
The gem attacks I don't really get. But, you know, they have special moves, like dive and kick, I think, can, like, go down faster.
Right. Choose a power or something.
There are some people who can change the direct trajectory of their dive kick. Or there are some people who, like, there's this one guy who does, like, it goes from right to left.
Yes.
And then, like, leaves this electric trail behind him. And if you touch that,
I see.
You die.
And there's a lot of fighting game community in jokes in which, this thing, characters and whatever.
Are the worst parts. Like,
okay, yeah, actually, I remember you talking about this now. So that was mostly your problem with it, is kind of the humor or attempts thereof.
It's bad. It's like walking into a room of a bunch of like middle school kids who are like talking about some crazy shit you don't even know what, and you're just sitting there like, what?
Like,
I don't get
inside
any
jokey
of it.
Or
it's
just
very inside jokey.
Really?
Yeah. You have to be like knee deep in the fighting game community to understand it, and I think even at that point, it's not very funny.
Hmm. Okay. Well, but separate from the I mean, there's not a lot of text. I mean, it's like, I guess,
well, there's
text
a story
and characters,
modes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you were playing that.
Yeah.
What about like the online or the local multiplayer?
I couldn't find anybody to play with online.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You went online and just didn't match up?
And nobody showed up. It may be my computer. I don't know. I do have a few.
Oh, you're playing on Steam?
Yeah, I'm on Steam.
It surprises me, though.
Yeah, local multiplayer, I'm sure, is fine. They set it up really well. You can share a keyboard and a controller. You can even, on a Vita, you can share, like, two controls on the Vita.
It feels like, I would want to try it that way before really talking about it, because it seems like that's what it's all about,
but
right?
But the core gameplay, I mean, I had fun when I was playing the single player.
But playing a fighting game against a computer is kind of like, I feel like that's not
it
even
gets
really
pretty,
playing
it. It gets pretty tough.
I'm sure it does, but it, like, AI and the computer is so arbitrary, you know what I mean, in a fighting game. I can't think of a single fighting game where I ever enjoyed. You basically learn these ways, right? Like Street Fighter or Samsho, you would just learn, like, okay, this is kind of how the computer is going
to
react.
You can cheese computer opponents. But
it's just not fun when you can't talk to, when you don't know the other person. Like, this game especially seemed to me, like, built around local multiplayer, like in the same room kind of multiplayer. That's how I'd want to try it too. And the thing that I really want to try about it is, like, anybody could play it. Like, you know, your wife, even your son could literally, like, play this game and be, like, semi-competitive in it, potentially. That's the thing that I thought it would be cool, like, to pull out.
Yeah, totally.
That's what I want to hear about the trial thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't have any other people to play it with until September 8th, when we do our next Dark Souls live event.
Nice little plug you've
which is our plug. We might play a little Dive Kick.
September 8th, is that a Sunday Japan
time? That is a
time?
Sunday Japan time.
Okay, so that's actually going to be probably Saturday night.
Yes.
Western US
time. We're
going to
be doing it like 12:30 Japan time, so it'll be like a decent time for people in the States.
That'll be like 8:30 on the West Coast.
Yeah, something like that.
Does it have local, like, if we should get it on Vita and then try and play it like on the plane or something. I wonder if we could
do that. You could do that.
Really?
Yeah. Chris brought it in the office the other day and he was explaining.
I'm all excited about this plane trip where I'm not possibly going to have time to play all the games I want to play, but I'm going to bring that. I'm going to get Spelunky on Vita, and then what's the other one? SteamWorld Dig on 3DS. I want to try that too.
How much is Spelunky on Vita?
I don't know. It's probably bucks, 10 or 15 bucks. It's so worth it. That's like one of my top three favorite Xbox Live arcade games. It's so good.
Probably will buy that.
It's a good game.
So
probably
good.
Probably will buy
so
that.
So good. Vita sounds perfect for it too, because like it's the kind of game where you get frustrated and you got to put it down 5 minutes, come back to it. Like it just makes way more sense on a handheld.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Anything else, JJ?
I played Killer is Dead.
Oh,
as
you did.
Promised. As promised.
Part of your job.
Yes.
All right. It's not getting very great reviews.
Yeah, really? You know, it's funny because I was looking at the GAF review thread for it today, and there was like a stark difference between the scores that European publications gave it and then American publications.
Let me guess, the European ones gave it really high scores?
They gave it high
scores. Suda is becoming
kind
of like
there.
A Jerry Lewis kind of situation where he's like very,
very popular.
David Hasselhoff.
In Europe. Yeah, I mean, and I understand why. It kind of makes sense to a large degree, but the most damning stuff that I read was not that it wasn't... Actually, it was Edge.
Yeah.
It was not saying that it wasn't weird or whatever, but it was like weird in kind of all the same ways, that it felt like treading ground that had already been well-worn ground,
right?
Even they like called out, I was like, yeah, there's like a depressed something train or something like that, and it's like, yeah, because of course there is in like a Suda game, it's
right.
Like a depressed demonic train engine or something. I don't know. But it was like, okay, yeah, I could kind of see that.
It is very Suda, like, but it's more akin to like the Killer 7 Suda than it is the No More Heroes or Lollipop Chainsaw, like,
really
goofy ass weird games. It takes itself, I think, a lot more serious.
The preview imagery and stuff, it seems like one aspect that carries over, and maybe this is not so much like a Suda, like a thing based on certain games, as more as like the more games he makes, the more he does this. But like, it just seems like there's a lot of like scantily clad women, like sexy things.
So gigolo
happening.
Mode. So okay. I guess I actually did
play the gigolo mode a couple
I've
times.
Been out of when I first saw that a while ago, and all the Dragon's Crown stuff was blowing up. I'm like, okay, this is going to be a big deal. It's going to be a problem. Somebody at Grasshopper should at least be talking about this to like figure out like what's the deal with this.
Are people complaining about it?
Yeah, apparently. Like, yes. Actually, I didn't see it, but I have been completely off the net. But I saw this review talk about it. Like, right. It was the only thing people were talking about. This is a mode where you,
you are sitting next to a girl, right. And she says things like, I'm nervous, over and over again. And when she looks away, you stare at her boobs, her hands, or her face, and you get points.
You sneak peeks.
Basically.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
It's like a Japanese pervert simulator.
Basically.
9000.
And then if you get enough guts, you can give her a present, and then like her heart meter fills up, and then when you fill that up all the way, you take her to bed.
Is this like a mini game?
And she gives you an item. Yeah, it's like a mini game.
But it's so... Actually, the point of the Edge review is like, the game is... Don't worry about that stuff so much. It's so weird and over the top and whatever. Yeah. It's just kind of like... It's not really offensive.
It's surreal. Right. It's really just bizarre.
Right. Yeah.
I think, maybe there is a little bit like making a mountain out of a mole here.
But is the story interesting? Is the game... like?
It is so far. I haven't played. I've completed the first two levels, and like I liked what I played. The gameplay is a little weird. Like sometimes things don't work the way they should, and like bosses are overpowered.
Yeah, they actually complained about a lot of just bugs and stuff in the reviews.
I don't want to be like the nitpicky graphic whore here, but the screen tearing just like drives me insane.
What are you playing it on, PS3?
I'm playing it on PS3.
Oh, wait, actually, I'm thinking of Lost Planet 3.
Man, a lot of big games are getting shat on this week, man.
Yeah.
Talk about...
Lost Planet 3, yeah. It was like a couple big Japanese releases. Lost Planet 3, the review was savage. Yeah. It was just like...
But surprise,
I was getting
right? Like
killed by stuff on the other side of the screen. I'm not sure still why that happened. Saying that the game just straight up felt like it wasn't finished.
Yeah.
Which, like, To be fair, like when I played that thing at TGS, which was I think that was two TGS ago.
That might have been. Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I like had a little story thing going, and I was like, wow, this is like surprisingly well voice acted. I mean, people might remember. I remember talking about it on the podcast, and I was like, okay, I'm actually intrigued. Where I wouldn't give a rat's ass about another Lost Planet. I didn't think I would.
Right.
They kind of abandoned the kind of more Monster Hunter direction that the second one was going in, which I actually thought was going to be really interesting.
Right.
Let's let the review speak for themselves, because I've only read one or two.
For me, going back to Killer is Dead, I think people should try that game, because it is like, it's, you know, daring in ways that games usually aren't. And I mean, it's just weird and out there. It's like, you don't get to play a game that's just kind of out there.
Right. It's not actually connected to Killer 7 anyway, right?
Not that I know of. I mean,
but you've played like all or most of Suda's previous games,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So is it not weird and out there in a way that is
it's a bit darker than usual.
You don't feel like this is the criticism that Edge was leveling against it, whereas like this is the same place that he goes, even if it's not, the details are different,
right?
The feeling is that same feeling.
It is in the mode of Suda. I mean, you can't escape that. He's not going to make something that like that's really,
because I'm interested. I'm very interested, but I do look at least what I've seen of the trailers and stuff. And even though it's a different world and different characters, it's like, I kind of feel like, okay, this is like, it's in the same universe. Like, I feel like, I feel like it's not, If Suda was really going to be weird, it would be completely different and not in his mode, you know, at all. And I feel like this is that review kind of stuck with me when I read it, because I was like, that is kind of what it looked like to me.
For me, you know, Suda, he's kind of become the Tim Burton of video games. Where, like, he made, like, a really amazing game back in the day, but he's kind of fallen off.
Which one was that?
Killer 7.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
I don't know if I would call that amazing.
But yeah, and then, like, he's fallen off. And then this game is kind of like a return to form
in some
ways.
Don't get me wrong. I'm totally not bagging on Suda. I think he's awesome. Yeah. I think he's definitely needed by the Japanese game industry. But I was just wondering, because some people would not say that. I mean, different people would ascribe different games to being his, like, a lot of people, I think, would say probably, like, No More Heroes was the one that they played. A lot of people would say, like, Shadows of the Damned was the first one that actually, like, really caught
them. For me, those games were very pop. Like, they,
No, I know. You're in, like, the weirdo, like, Ryan Payton, like, artsy-fartsy beret.
Yes.
Killer 7 is amazing.
I have an array of berets.
Did you finish Killer 7, let me ask you?
Yes.
You did?
I did.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Then your opinion is valid.
Okay. And, but
it gets a lot better in the last level.
That's right. And that's what I'm thinking maybe will happen with this game. I mean, it's not like
you're going to stick with this one too?
I kind of want to. Okay. The problem is, and the reason why I wasn't able to play it for so long, is that I can't not play that game around my son.
Oh.
Just straight up.
Blood everywhere. Right.
Blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just can't do it.
And you're like seducing women.
Yeah.
Reminds me of another game we're working on. Very bloody, very sexy.
Yeah, that's another game I'm not going to be able to play.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for that to come out.
Be able to talk about that.
Probably not for a while. It's a way off. It's not even announced yet.
But anyways, so yeah, I want to keep playing that. I recommend that. Dive Kick, I didn't talk about this, but for some reason, all the menus, you have to hit select and then both buttons at the same time. You have to hit three buttons at the same time to go into a menu or anything.
Are you kidding?
It's retarded.
Is that a joke?
It sounds like a joke.
I hate to say that word, but it is the dumbest idea. It is not a joke. It's because
it must be a joke from their part.
They tooled it that way because of people who make their own controllers or whatever. But it's just like,
wait, seriously?
Because you could,
so you don't accidentally do it or something.
Like,
or
dive is to go left and kick is to go right, and then like to you press that and select at the same time to go into a menu.
No, it still doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any. It's retarded. Like,
why not just have the start
button
be a menu
button? Controller that are start and select that you not aren't going to accidentally hit.
Because
anything.
Like, I've seen a picture of a guy who made a Dive Kick controller out of Pringles can. So it's like,
okay.
We should move on.
Oh, because people are making two button controllers.
Yeah, right.
For fuck's sake, but that's the only way?
Yeah, there is no option. There is no way. It's like the fucking Vita.
I choose to believe that there's an option.
There isn't. Unfortunately, they should put that in there or auto-tech that you don't have a dumbass Dive Kick in the <Okay.
laughs> No Pringle can detected. Yeah. Please make sure your Pringles cans
Thank
are...
Thank you.
Yeah. What else? Anything?
No, not really. Okay. There was another game I played, but it's not worth talking about, though.
Do you want to tease what that was?
I don't even remember what
that
was.
Let me determine. You don't even remember the name of the game?
Yeah, it's like a dungeon crawler thing.
It's all right.
Okay. One of those. It's called like Hammer Sword. Or
okay, so let's get straight into the news, man.
Boom.
Fuck it. Dive Kick right into the news. Dive Kick version. Stripped down.
Yes.
Pure. 100% pure adrenaline.
So what happened in the world of games?
You tell me, because I...
A lot of twerking.
Beep, 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 beep. JJ, give us the emergency podcast break-in theme.
This is an emergency broadcast of the 8-4 news system.
Here, wait. Attention. Attention. May I please have your attention? That's what used to happen on the at Ziff Davis back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, whenever we had a bullshit fire alarm. But
wait, where
it's
did
not
you come
bullshit.
From?
This time.
I was here the whole time.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
We've added Hiroko, but that's not the emergency. The emergency was last night, Nintendo... which I thought was having an April Fool's joke, like, way earlier late when I first saw it. I don't know what everyone's reaction first was, but announced a new version of their 3DS handheld called the 2DS that has no 3D feature slider at all. It's just not 3D capable. It's just a 2D system. Otherwise,
well, it has a 3D cameras.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Which is really weird. Yeah, you can take 3D pictures.
But it doesn't display them in 3D.
I guess not.
So the screens, it's also not no longer hinged. It's like a tablet. It's actually one screen separated by plastic to be still a 3DS. So mm-hmm. it is still, it's basically essentially a 3DS laid flat.
It has two screens.
It has, mm-hmm. it has, I mean, it's physically one screen, but it's separated to look like two.
Okay.
Oh, is it really? They
yeah.
touch?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a big, so that's actually, there's a lot of
weird
little
things. Wait, so how does that work
things.
With the touch screen?
Well, so that's one thing that they were asking, like, essentially, potentially, you could maybe use that top screen as a touch screen, but no games are going to do that because that would only be available for the 2DS. Anyway, the big message with this is, and something to, it looks kind of like a door wedge, doorstop kind of thing.
Or a slice of cheese.
Oh, no, there's a bar, there's a bar between the screens.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. That's what we were saying. Yeah, put your phone down.
Like, no, there's a bar between the screens. So you can the top touch screen would be still, I think, the old style screen, I'm sure, where you don't touch it, actually.
No. So it's, but it is the same physical screen behind it. You get that, right?
Oh, behind the plastic?
Yes. Yeah.
They actually said that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. That's the thing.
That is bizarre.
Jeremy,
right.
Friend of the show, Jeremy Parrish, who's actually going to be the host. I think we talked about him maybe a little earlier.
We did, or we will.
maybe. Yeah, he did a lot of really good coverage of this. He actually had an interview with Scott Moffitt, I think is his name, a Nintendo marketing guy, where he's like, so this is you saying that the 3D was like not really that important in the first place, right? And so that guy had a tap dance around that whole thing, and basically for like 3D. Five questions. No, yeah, and people do... Actually, kid system. So they said it's aimed at 7 and younger, which they had to say right before the 3DS came out that the 3D will like give you eye cancer if you're less.
Such a fucking boogeyman. It's ridiculous.
Go
so
ahead.
So the price?
Yeah, the price also dropped. It's cheaper. Mm-hmm. It's now
what was the normal price?
Yeah,
200.
I think it needs to be even cheaper.
200? Was it not? 150 or we live in Japan.
I'm pretty sure it's
bear
not
that in mind. Here,
yeah,
okay. Basic 3DS model 169 or XL 199.
Oh,
okay.
I do not even acknowledge the original 3DS. So it's like it doesn't even exist to me.
It's coming out the same day. They say coincidentally as Pokemon X and Y. What is that? I forget the date. It's around here somewhere.
October 12th.
Okay. Yeah. So, essentially, I think what people should take away from this, and actually, Jeremy says, I mean, it's designed as a kid's system. They're only really kind of selling it as something for kids. I mean, young kids.
The commercial had a very small child playing it.
Oh, I didn't even see a commercial.
There is a commercial.
Oh,
but
really?
Basically, it's less breakable because it doesn't have the hinge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it doesn't have the 3D, so you don't have to worry about that if you're a parent.
Right.
And I think Nintendo must have had, in order to do something like this, a lot of market data where parents were actually freaked out by that thing. It's very underreported.
Right. Yeah.
But... there have to be just a ton of parents who are like, okay, yeah, I'm going to play it safe. Kid, don't play with that.
I'm not going to vaccinate my kids, and I'm not going to let them see 3D.
They should have. We talked about like what they rename this thing, because I think the naming is a little confuser, but it should be like
the
babysitter version of hand this to your kid, fire and forget, and go do laundry.
The problem, though, is like how many moms are going to go out there, or dads or whatever are going to go out, like people who are not really into games are going to go out there and think that they can't buy 3DS games because their kid has the 2DS. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be confusing as hell.
USA Today reporters still don't understand that Wii U is
exactly.
It's a system.
Yeah.
Probably there will be some of
those. There's going to be a lot of that, I think.
I do think they were backed into a corner with the name because...
3DS 2D edition.
It's like, what do you... Yeah, you're basically taking away... True. The thing is...
Why not call it 3DS Lite or something? Or 3DS...
Because you still have 3D in the name.
Yeah, it's not 3D.
But that's the thing. We now are so used to thinking of it that we no longer think of the 3DS as being the 3D being the big thing.
Right.
But I think they were taking that as a given and having to work around that. So I was saying like junior DS. Just throw away the whole...
The DS Junior or something.
No one's going to care about Super the old DS and confusion with the old DS, right? I mean, that's been long enough now.
Right.
A lot of talk about it.
I think the biggest thing, obviously, is more than anything else is Pokemon, right? I mean, they know that the people who are going to want to buy Pokemon, 10 million people or whatever, a lot of them don't have a 3DS yet, and they want to give them an affordable in so that doesn't prevent them from buying Pokemon, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm.
I liked watching the Twitter reaction as it was happening. It started out, everyone was like, oh my god, what the fuck is this? This is terrible, terrible. And then, like, slowly but surely, I kept seeing tweets like, oh, it's for kids.
Right.
Oh.
It makes sense. Actually, it's kind of smart.
And then, like, I woke up this morning and Michael Pachter's like, oh, Nintendo made a good move.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow. People did, like, a full 180 on that in, like,
the ultimate,
24 hours.
The ultimate damning thing that makes me reconsider my opinion that it's a good move. Michael Pachter's saying it's a good move. Right. So, blue and red available in America. They're just like highlights. They're not, the thing is mostly black wherever. There's a white highlight version, I guess, or just white version coming out in Europe.
Right.
That's the long and the short of it. There was one thing that I was surprised Jeremy was saying that it's more comfortable to hold and he actually would be into playing like virtual console games on it. And kind of maybe a missed opportunity to bridge the Wii U, like 3DS as a Wii U controller gap kind of
thing. Well, maybe that's still coming.
Yeah. It could be, but now it's like, I don't know. I feel like this is almost like, what was the redesigned Wii that came out in Canada only?
It was the $99 Wi-Fi.
It's kind of like a novelty.
Right.
I don't think we're going to see many
looks
around
very
just from our friends.
Similar. Yeah, I don't think that's ever coming out in Japan.
I guess
it's not. Yeah, it's not announced for Japan.
This might be what Jeremy was talking about too, but I guess if you look at it, the one nice thing of having it in this shape is that the buttons and the stick can go up more because they're not restricted to the bottom
half.
That's
what he
said. So like holding it like that, I'm just trying to imagine myself holding it now. It actually does look like it would be nice because you're mainly playing on the top screen.
Now imagine what you were doing with your hands, but much smaller. Like this,
So the screens are still regular 3DS size and not XL size, which I think is kind of.
I want to see it compared to like a Game Boy Pocket. You know,
it's probably kid size though, right?
Yeah.
That is like toddler
right.
size.
That's
so
true.
Making it XL size is probably like too big. So like,
the thing is, I thought I liked small screens with the micro and stuff until they started making the LLs, and now I could never go
I
back.
I could never ever go
back to like
a smaller
screen.
They both serve their purpose, right? I mean. Right.
And you're not a kid, you know. Kids
right.
are smaller than you.
Like a kid on the inside.
After I got over my like initial oh my god, what the fuck is this reaction, like I totally see myself buying one for my son. Like he would
really?
Fucking love it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. One out of one members of the 8-4 podcast with children.
No, it's still 100%
success rate.
Because like I don't give a shit about the 3D thing or whatever, but him having like his own 3DS that's cheap. So
would you have not just given him your old, if you had an old 3DS?
I have an old 3DS, but it's my wife's. So
you're not you wouldn't worry about the eyeball thing was not a big concern of yours, though.
Oh, wow.
Really? What about
your
wife? I'm concerned.
She might be concerned, but it's, you know, I'm a full believer that your vision is hereditary and that.
The immediate thing that I saw when I as soon as they announced it was like, oh, this is a 3DS made for me because I can't see the 3D anyway. But then like I was like, oh, but the screens are too small and I can't fold it and blah, blah, blah.
I can't picture myself like carrying this thing around, putting it in my bag.
No. You would definitely not.
You mean like
be
your current 3DS, which you carry everywhere you go?
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. And you'll be bringing it to PAX, which you will be with us as we're about to, at least me and John, jump on a plane. Are you bringing your 3DS to Street Pass with people?
Yes.
Okay. Well then,
decided right now.
Yeah.
Subtitle. No.
All right.
No,
let's now back to our regularly scheduled podcast. We got to jump on a flight. JJ, take us back in. So, Gamescom.
Yeah, Gamescom.
GC.
The place where they go to announce soccer games.
Why are all these people talking about... Oh, harsh.
It's how it is every year.
So, why don't we start off on that? Speaking of soccer games, Microsoft set us up the bomb.
Kablooey.
They're giving away, like, while supplies last, right? I don't know where it is in here.
If for pre-orders of the Xbox One, you get a free copy of FIFA 14 while supplies last.
Not to insult any European audience or anything like that, but is basically like, I don't even know what would an equivalent of that be. It's basically like, let's insult them and their American audience and Japanese audience at the same time. That would be like, for a Japanese audience, like offering Monster Hunter pack-in.
Yeah.
For an America, that would be like offering a Call of Duty pack-in.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not as insulting.
That's not as insulting, yeah.
Okay.
While supplies
last. Basically kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal, I think. So not as big as a deal as like the first reports made it sound. Like it sounded like everybody gets a episode of Oprah where everybody gets a car, everybody gets a FIFA 14, but it's just like a limited supply of pre-orders.
But we don't know how limited.
Yeah, we don't.
Okay.
That's true.
So let's see. Biggest game comes surprise. I'm going to put that in quotes, even though it's not here. We're reading from, I think this is the NeoGAF summary thread.
Probably.
Is that self-publishing for independent developers? Yeah, was spoiled in July by Game Informer. Good news for everyone. God bless the competition. That is called, God damn it, now I can't remember. Like, something like that. Independent developer or whatever.
Oh, independent developer.
So, it's in good hands.
Yeah, Chris Charla, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Awesome guy. Was recently last, I guess, in charge of a lot of the stuff going on with Xbox Live Arcade.
I think I spent about 30 minutes of my E3, like, drunkenly by the pool, like, yelling at Chris Charla about how I wanted them to do stuff like this. And he basically, like, didn't say anything, and now I know why.
Because he knew the whole time.
Right.
Yeah, he's like, God damn it. Like, that was probably, like, a full, like, 20 hours put together.
I know.
E3 was
no
like,
kidding.
Just take a drink. Just take another drink. Right. Think about home. So, like,
thanks for putting up with us, Chris.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, yeah, that's exciting. I forget all the details. There was a really good interview dump truck from our friends over at Giant Bomb. Patrick Klepek had a talk with him the day that it came out that kind of summed up everything. Like, the good points and kind of the points where, like, well, this remains to be seen how cool this will be and how things will work out. But at least it's a big step in the right direction. And it kind of plays in with the story kind of going right now where Microsoft is kind of fixing one by one
their apology tour
going up to launch.
They are fixing things, but the interesting thing about all that to me is that as much as they're fixing things, and I'm totally behind it and glad they are, I the perception that they're like way behind hasn't really changed. Like, I still feel like Sony, in far as like the indie space and everything,
right,
even with the announcements that came out of Gamescom,
yeah,
still seems like a good mile ahead of Microsoft. Like,
I would agree with that, but I think it's now no longer really to the point where it matters so much for people who don't follow the gaming industry.
Mm-hmm.
It True. Still really matters. I think there's still a bad taste in the mouth of the hardcore people.
Yeah.
Microsoft has a lot of work to do to fix that still, but it is a big deal even to have them come back, and it's like person who walks into the, not Babbage's because that went away like 20 years ago, but
GameStop
yeah. or whatever, Walmart, let's just say, while we're talking about Joe Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Joe Cod.
Like, walks in and is like, hey, I like football.
Yeah.
I like Call of Duty. I got my 26 kids with me.
Wow.
I don't know. What is that?
He's probably from Mississippi.
Oh, now, JJ, now you got offensive.
That's right.
Now you got offensive.
Dude,
my guy was a college-educated guy walking
with
into the San Francisco. Yes.
He's like building a quiverful family.
He's Catholic. Well,
yeah. Anyway, yeah, exactly. Anyway, Joe Codd walks in and is like, hey, looks at PS4, looks at Xbox,
right,
probably maybe buys PS4 because it's cheaper still, but might ask the guy behind the counter, like, hey, wait a second, that Titanfall game, like, what, I can get that for this, right, or something. I will say, I saw the Titanfall Gamescom trailer.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the thing? It's actually gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I was like, okay, now I agree. To understand.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, even through, you can listen to old podcasts where I'm like, E3 awards, everything. I was kind of like, what? Yeah. What?
Mm.
I was like, okay, now I completely see for a lot of people why this is interesting.
Right.
And myself even am like a little bit interested in
but
it
it's
now.
Not going to have a single player. That's the problem for
well,
me.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And
does
I don't
Dota
know,
have a single player?
It kind of does.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, so does Titanfall.
Wait, it does?
That's right.
I thought Titanfall was like all multiplayer only.
Well, it has like a,
I guess it's simulated.
Wait,
it
yeah,
does?
I think it's like bots, right?
Yeah.
Running around.
I don't know.
I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, looked really good. Probably one of the best put together just playthrough trailers that I've ever
yeah,
seen.
It was very well orchestrated.
Oh, just completely like beat
I wonder
by
how they
beat.
Plan that stuff.
It must have just been really ridiculous. They
yeah.
must have taken that movie like 50 times,
yeah.
I mean, 500 times, whatever, just like orchestrated.
Mm.
Anyway, check that out. Other stuff to come out of Gamescom. I will say we touched on Microsoft's backpedaling and fixing stuff. I will say one I thought kind of sour note from Sony's press conference that I was surprised that they did. And I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I do think that it's something I want to talk about because I mentioned it on Twitter. I was surprised that they actually called out Microsoft for going back and correcting their mistakes.
Yeah.
The reason being is that all the mistakes they've gone back and corrected are things that have been good for gamers. And I just felt like...
You mean good for them to correct... Good corrections to make, you mean.
Right. Good corrections right. to make in terms of gamers. Like, gamers right. are winning. And so, right. like, for Sony to kind of... I mean, they weren't really faulting them for that. And don't get me wrong, Sony does, like, you know, in, like, a court of law or whatever, Sony does have ground to stand on where they're like, look, we understood from the start. We're right. not, like, changing all of our shit. I totally get that, but I just felt like... Getting down in it, like, they were coasting high. No one could touch them. They are golden boys. Like,
right.
you are elevated up here now. You don't even have to talk about those guys. You just have... You had, like, act like you don't... Like, act like you got better stuff to talk about. You know what right, I mean? Like, act right. like you don't even have time for those guys that are, like, futzing around, correcting their message and whatever. You got games to talk about. You got your release date. You got price. You got this. You got that. You got boom, boom, boom.
Well, like, it was just a one-off quip,
though. I think they're having fun a little bit. It's sort of like back in the day when
it
Sega,
Nintendo...
It didn't
come off like they were having fun, though,
really?
At all.
Yeah.
Completely.
It was a little...
Unlike the yeah. E3 mm. announcement, which really was that way, I think it...
Didn't, I didn't see it, so...
It didn't come off that way. And it's not like they were, like, harped on it or anything, but it just felt like it was like, wow, you guys are really, like... Maybe it was because it's like, okay, you guys have... Like, they're down.
Kicking them while they're down.
And right now, like, I feel like the time has passed. Like, it's kind of a little tacky at this point.
Now it's like just eyes on the prize. Like, don't surrender the high road. Like, don't let them be right. the underdog now. Don't give them what you guys had, which That's is right. now like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like, and again, this is the.
You hear that, Yoshi P?
This is the stuff that only we and people listening to this podcast sure. and people on NeoGAF and stuff care about. But I mean, we right. do matter. So. Mm. Just as far as messaging and strategy and stuff like that, mm. that's actually my message to AK and those people out there who might be listening to this. So, Fable Legends, did you guys watch the trailer
no,
for that?
No.
I could not care less about... I need, like, a court to give me evidence that somebody gives a shit about Fable. Like,
dude, look at the NPDs.
I think Tom
They keep making
does.
Them. They would not keep making them.
Is that because he's from Europe? What are
I
you trying to say?
I think he looks like a Fable character. Like, when you turn evil, all he needs is a scar.
I think the picture for this podcast has to now be Tom.
Yeah,
with the scar. Tom,
right.
Because he totally does look like a Fable character.
His last day is in a couple of days, so.
Right down. Well, that's a nice send-off you yeah. just gave him. Right down to his, like, his boots and what... Okay, yeah, that's totally true. I wouldn't laugh, except that's totally true. But
I just don't care about Fable. I
kind of one of the poor things. It's kind of a cool idea. You can, like, be the bad guy.
Right.
You guys know about that? And,
Oh, yeah.
Conceptually, maybe, but is it not the modern, like, evolution of the... Remember the 16-bit days we all joked about?
It's
the
Gauntlet
quote-unquote
Legends.
Euro art, right?
It's
the games
Gauntlet
that have the
Legends.
Disgusting art that,
and
like...
Yes.
It's like the modern Gianna Sisters or whatever.
That's
it's like,
true.
It's so gross. Why you would are. I want to play it?
So many European
Dude,
people
there
are.
There is, I know.
After the last and episode where we had a French person on and people were like, you should
so
use that.
I'm not dogging. I'm just dogging that game. It's not, you know...
The Gianna Sisters, by the way, does have a modern Gianna Sisters. They actually made one. They actually kickstarted it.
It's out on Ouya.
Basically, my okay. knocks against it, the first trailer was CG only. Ugh. I don't like yeah. that. Yeah, the CG designs didn't look good. Who knows what the game will look like? They'll probably be kind of the same or similar.
Molyneux's not even there anymore, right?
No. And then, yeah, Fable game hasn't been a good one. Again, I got a lot of shit, I think, for Fable 2, which I stopped playing, and a lot of people thought that was kind of the pinnacle, but... I haven't really been into it for a while. I would really love for it to get great art. The part that struck me wrong is it's four-player co-op, which sounds cool, except you basically are, like, choosing a role and playing it. So there's, like, four characters, and you're
oh,
playing one of them. It's, like, the Ice Queen
That's not too bad.
And a guy, and I don't know. Did you see the four? You haven't seen the four characters.
I saw, like, a picture of it. It just was okay. like, okay.
Maybe I'm just tired, but this is amusing. I don't know. Like, I just can't. It's another one of those things where I, like, I'm trying to put myself as a fly on the wall in the room when the decision got made to make that. And it's like, who was like, oh, God,
there
the world
the
is begging
was,
for another
here's what
Fable.
The decision
for Joe
what
Fable.
Is going to be the next Fable game? Because we are going to have a next Fable game.
We need some exclusive.
And there was, like, Fable carts. There was, like, Fable Big Planet.
Fable Puzzle.
Right. There was this. And there was, like, Fable 5. And Fable 5 is probably like, okay, make that. It's going to take 20 years and,
in
like,
meantime,
$6 million.
Right.
In the meantime, put out this thing. That was probably right. the decision that was made. So, Cobalt, new Mojang game
coming
to Xbox 360 and
old.
Xbox One.
They announced that game like a year and a half ago. It's like a side-scrolling shooter, 2D.
That seems cool. Weird to me. Like, so that 10 to the X whatever bullshit name game is put it's on
canceled.
Hold.
It's canceled. He canceled it, yeah.
What the fuck? That sounded amazing.
Yeah. He said he just couldn't make it fun. Well.
Maybe ahead of
time. I think it was more like just pressure following up Minecraft got to him.
It sounded so well, and I can't see how it sounded ambitious as hell, but it sounded like that was the kind of stuff. I think we talked about this because they announced some like card game or something right when Minecraft was blowing up and it's like, really, guys?
Yeah.
Then they announced that and I'm like, okay, these guys, maybe they got it. Maybe these guys are going to be something special.
Yeah. And the thing is, this Cobalt game isn't even really, it wasn't made by Mojang to begin
with. They're just publishing it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Ghosts, dedicated servers.
Cloud.
FIFA, we talked about.
FIFA.
Ultimate Team players received exclusive legendary players in gold packs. They're doing that shit.
Maradona, I think that's his name. Pele.
I mean, like the three soccer guys you've heard of? Yeah. Beckham.
Do you have an imitation for him? How he talks?
I have no.
Okay. Killer Instinct pricing revealed. One character's free. Thank you.
Jago. There's going to be...
You already said thank you about this last
time. Can we stop and talk about this for a second? Because, like, there was a thread on Gaff today where, like, some guy from Double Helix was like, this is the most generous demo of all time. And I'm just thinking about, like, when people are going to download this on Xbox One, day one, you can pay $20 to get all six characters. All six characters. Plus the two characters
Wait,
that come out
or
later.
$20.
$20. $40 gets you all the characters plus a whole bunch of extra stuff.
Like costumes and shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like there's going to be like 200,000, 500,000, 600,000 people playing. Who knows?
Jago.
You're gonna be the guy that's like, Jago. I paid $20 to get every character, but you're online playing against Jago, and that's it.
I hope you like fighting against Jago.
Yeah, because like, this is gonna kill your game. Do you guys not realize? Like,
we'll see.
It's not even free to play. There's no way to get the other characters except for to pay for them.
You're right in that. So okay, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right in that. It's
they did not
really
think
smart in theory if the character you can one character you can play rotates or something.
Yeah, right.
I heard something that they
like
were
I said,
thinking
they should
about,
change it every week or something.
But still, there's only six characters.
Every 2 weeks, I don't know.
Maybe fucking Jago has like a alternate thing where you put a button press and he has a different stance and he's like fighting a whole new character.
It's gonna be mirror matches for days.
Rise Combat RYSE.
Dragon Slayer,
the most amazing thing Phil Spencer has ever seen in his entire life.
I saw the face of Jesus. I watched the new video of that, and I still don't know how you play the game. Other than
I know
like,
how
the
you
stuff
play it. Have you played Dragon Slayer before?
Yes, I have.
You know how to play
it.
Okay.
Oh, so gross.
Maybe I'm being unfair to that game.
No, you're not.
I'm sure maybe there's more to it. You use the Kinect to scream at them.
There you go. Forza Motorsport 5 playable. Can't really say a whole lot about that.
I'm sure it'll be great.
So no date.
So still no date as of today. What? Tell me what happened in the past week. I've been so busy. You guys probably have too. But like, I mean, you probably haven't noticed this on Twitter. But like, somebody talked about a date, withdrew
Kotaku
that
had a date
or something.
Had a leaked quote unquote date.
November 8th.
It was November 8th.
They took it down.
Why did they take it down? Did they comment on it?
I think they found it wasn't true, maybe.
Interesting.
So as of now, so it's not like Microsoft was like, no, here's a real date.
There's still not a date, but Crazy Buttocks on a Train says the 15th.
Which is a
mostly
reliable source on NeoGAF.
Well, we haven't even talked about the Sony side of Gamescom.
Yeah, we're about to.
But that is the same date that Sony announced, right? November 15th.
It is...
in America, anyway. Sony's coming out. PS4 is coming out November 15th.
I think that's
Is it not weird to you? Like, I don't think it's a good idea to launch on the same day. Like, whether or not you even if you have the clear advantage, you're just basically automatically not going to have 100% of the attention that day
as
you would in your own day.
For sure. North America November 15th, Europe November 19th.
November 29th.
November 29th. Japan
TBD
listed.
TGS, wait for TGS.
They will announce at TGS.
Dude, I get this feeling.
The betrayal.
We're going to be waiting till spring. I hope that's not the case.
I can tell you, if it was going to be this year, I bet you they would have announced it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they already said it's going to be in X number of countries this year, and Japan wasn't listed in them. 32 countries.
Bomb. Total betrayal ton.
Your mother country.
Yes.
The mother country.
I mean, I get it. I totally get why they're doing it. It totally makes sense. Who the fuck else is going to do anything in Japan? Microsoft's not even going to come out here. Definitely not before then.
Not fucking, like
they're not worried
matters.
About the Wii U. Yeah, so like, okay, but it's still kind of shitty. It's still kind of taking them for granted. It is really...
I kind of wish... Well,
really
I guess,
telling that they're doing this.
I still hope. I mean, we don't know yet. Maybe they'll put out just like, you know, 50,000 or something in Japan. Like,
you know what it is? They're waiting for the port of Puzzle and Dragons.
But it's you may be right. But it's tradition. PlayStation platforms come out in December in Japan. They always have.
You know what? I'm waiting on the announcement.
It's tradition
of,
they come out here first, too, right? Like,
well, no. The last one... Well, I think Vita came out
we
first
We still
in
haven't
America,
seen Ridge Racer.
Well, the thing is, Ridge Racer is now in the hands of some other company
Did
that
you say
is already.
Vita came out first in America? What are you talking about?
Didn't it?
No.
Did it not?
No. Remember, we gave away a Vita because it took
yeah,
it so
right,
long to
you're
come
right,
to
America. You're right.
PS3
came out first in Japan.
Did it?
Yeah, because
I
flew
like 2 days in America.
It was very
first.
Close. It was like within a week. I flew to America right after Japan. I was at
well,
both
shit.
Launches.
PS2 was definitely first here. PS1 was first
Absolutely.
Here. So this is the first Sony hardware that's going to launch.
Well, if we're right, we're assuming, but yeah.
PSP launched way before here.
I want.
Oh God, I made
I
so much
Cassie
money on
Ride
the PSP.
To come out on stage at TGS and be like,
bow down to the ground.
PS4 goes on sale right now.
That would be amazing.
More likely, he's going to be giving the old PSN network deep bow, 5-minute photo taking deep bow.
They're
going
to unveil the fourth redesign of the PS3.
Right.
And there was actually an interesting Vita redesign rumor that came out just before Gamescom that I guess didn't pan out.
Well, it's supposed to be announced around TGS, so we still have time for that to bear.
Really?
Yeah.
So that rumor was like slightly bigger screen.
We don't need a bigger screen. Does anybody need a bigger PS? No.
Hey, I'm not gonna turn it down.
Carry the thing in my pocket as it is.
You're not going to turn it on either. Okay?
Maybe not. But think about, actually I will, because I will have a PS4 and it will be my new PS4 controller.
True.
That I think is that's how I interpreted the idea. And that's why I do want a bigger one, because of what you said, why you said you don't want one is actually why I do. Like, I already don't put the thing in my pocket.
Right.
So fuck it. Let's just make a Wii U controller.
But have you seen it lately? Yeah. It's a pretty nice, that Vita screen is already pretty big and nice and pretty.
No,
like, I don't need a bigger one. I don't need to spend $200
either.
More for it to be bigger.
Okay, I don't either, but I bet if you saw it on the store shelves, you would still buy it to have it in your home and use it with your PS4.
Yeah,
maybe.
I would.
Yeah. I would probably rather just use the DualShock.
You know, it's funny because of Gamescom. I think Sony started to make a real good case to own a Vita, but like it's like Bizarro World where
it's all indie.
It's more worth it if you're in a country that's not Japan, because those games most likely won't be coming out here for a long time.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's really good. They dropped the price too. They dropped the price, what, $50 or whatever? That was really important, really smart. They dropped the price of the memory cards. Not enough, but I still, it's hard. Yeah. You can't slam them for doing that. I'm glad they
did
it. They're
the
still too expensive.
Hopefully the new system lets you use regular SD cards. That'd be nice.
That would be nice. But still, I mean, they're dropping the price. That's good. But what I would much rather have than a bigger Vita is just an even cheaper current Vita.
Yes.
So, Gran Turismo 6 date, 6th of December.
Did you see, maybe you can confirm that I didn't misread this, but I think he said, did he not say that like the PS4 version may become Gran Turismo 7? Like, I saw that quoted somewhere.
I have no idea, man.
We'll have to look it up. I know.
Heard any of this.
Coming,
that's not something you should say.
I still
2019.
The conference myself. I still haven't
Me
seen
neither,
the conference
actually.
Myself. I only saw the part where they mentioned the Xbox stuff. Little Big Planet Hub, a new free-to-play game in the Sandbox series for PS3. Did you guys see this?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
Little Big Planet goes in one ear and out the other.
But it kind of seems like that series, at least, is made for that sort of thing.
Sure.
You guys, you're like shrugged.
Yeah,
sure.
Whatever.
Like Disney Infinity, which the rest of the world is talking
about.
Dude,
what is up with that?
Sounds like the biggest hunk of fucking dog shit.
I look at my Twitter feed and everybody's like, oh my God, I got these toys.
Fucking piece
what
of
the
shit.
What on
it's
earth is that?
Here's what it is. It's an excuse for fucking nerds to buy action figures.
Tchotchkes.
Yes.
Basically.
I don't get as someone who would like is waiting for the game to do it with something that I give a shit about.
Yeah.
I understand, like, you want somebody to enable your collectability stuff. I just don't understand how so many grown-ass men
right.
are excited to, I, like, for people Disney
I,
shit.
People
to,
I have legitimate it. Respect for are like, oh my god, I got this toy.
Be excited. For some reason, though, it'd be okay for me if it was Pokemon. For some reason, I would be like, oh, that's cool. Or even Animal Crossing, it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Dragon Quest. I'm you, like, all right.
You do I, have I a deep-seated totally... hatred for Disney.
As shown by what was the game? It was the rock the music game.
Not DuckTales.
No,
that was sweet though.
It was the Kinect one. I know what you're talking about.
I don't have no.
You
idea.
Don't remember the Disney game? You
Fantasia.
Railed that one. Yes.
Fantasia. Yeah, well, that yeah. So I don't have a hatred for Disney. I like plenty of Disney movies, but it's not a free pass to spend like $200. Like. The mercenary way that that shit is priced, I don't know if you guys know about it.
I don't.
It is so fucking evil. Holy shit, it is evil.
Do tell.
I listen to the Player One podcast because they fucking like know everything about it. Greg Seward spent like $168 on it or something like that.
Oh, no. Jesus Christ.
Dude, it is ridiculous. Like how they lock things away, like how things are only available in modes, how worlds you have to have two of whatever and blah, 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 blah. I understand you got to do some of that stuff. To get people up to, like, you know, the prices, and you're paying a premium, and you're making these things in plastic, and the figures look cool, I get that. But, like, the game, from all accounts, is, like, tepid at best, dog shit in actuality. So, like, let's just call it what it is,
yeah.
and just be like...
Maybe we should play it first.
Well, there was some people on my Twitter feed who are like, you know, if you hold it, the figure in a certain way... You can keep it in the plastic and still play with it.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. All right.
So, anyway. So, other Sony Gamescom news: Borderlands 2 make its portable debut on Vita later this year.
That's pretty cool.
Good game for Vita.
Fez coming to Vita.
Very cool.
A lot of other stuff.
Rogue Legacy, baby.
Yeah.
That is going to attach me to my Vita, that game, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, dude, that game is
coming, so good.
Minecraft coming to PS4 as a launch title.
I think that's actually pretty big.
That is.
PS3 as well, it's coming to.
Yeah, man. Finally, they're fucking...
I mean, late is not necessarily the end of the world, and that's in that franchise. Like, yeah, that is, I mean, still is, really good.
They lost that war, for sure.
They basically
got fucked in the fanny on that. Big time.
The European fanny or the American fanny?
Let's not even answer that.
Yeah.
The thing that's really good about it, though, I think, is like now, if you're going into the next generation and you want to pick one or the other platform, this is a big thing for Sony to say, okay, we have this too, in addition to all this other shit we have
hey
as well.
Hey kids, that's the big play as far as I'm
totally.
Concerned.
Totally. Every kid plays that game.
And of course, Microsoft fucking pissed that away when they said that your games are not compatible with the next system. So, fucking idiots. PlayStation 3 12 GB getting discounted to $199 in the US.
12 GB.
House Marquee, depending on who you ask. The guys behind Super Stardust. Yeah, 12 GB. I think that's their cheapest model that they have. They're like bare boned ass.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
New title out for PS4 launch, I think. This says PS3 launch. Called Resogun.
Yeah.
I saw that. It looks like Yeah, I wish they had better art, but it looks crazy and cool, kind of like
Defender-ish. It's particle effects all over your face.
And it looks fun. I'd definitely play the shit out of that. Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number, console debut on PS4 and Vita. And Plus, The Binding of Isaac, Rebirth, Rogue Legacy you guys talked about, Wasteland Kings from Vlambeer, they're roguelike.
Nice.
It's just like, fucking indie shit, just one after
there
the
was,
other.
There was some really good games announced, really good-looking games announced.
I'm really stoked, like, they got some... I mean, because as somebody who's mainly interested in indie games lately, like, I feel like that system has... I can't wait for it to come out. There's so much shit I want to play on.
Other one, Rime, R-I-M-E.
Looked amazing.
Cell-shaded Adventure.
Is that the Japan Studio one?
No. That's Tequila Works.
Yeah, Tequila Works, who also made some stuff I can't remember right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Inspired by Eco, which is kind of...
It's very heavily inspired
what it looked
Eco.
Like, yeah. And that trailer, I did manage to see that trailer, which I will say, like, okay, I'm intrigued. Like, any game of that type, it sucks that we don't get more games of that type made, but I do want to see, like, okay, what's going to be really cool.
Texture work was incredible. Lighting was incredible.
Cool. Totally.
PS4 user interface, I did not actually see this demo. Yeah. I really want to watch
it's,
this.
Yoshi P sitting in a really nice chair.
Yeah. Supercharged XMB design, responsive, spectating a streamed Killzone game and joining the game.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. He was watching somebody stream a game and he jumped right into it.
The night of that conference, you know, it was 2 a.m. our time, so that I couldn't, and I had a cold and I couldn't stay up late. And I usually stay up late to watch these things, but I couldn't stay up to watch. But I dreamt of unboxing a PS4 that night. I wanted to watch it so bad. I was so excited.
And then Nintendo Sonic Worlds Gamescom trailer. And that's it. For Gamescom. Nintendo really brought it.
Yeah.
To Europe.
Sonic.
I mean, they're selling so well in Europe, but, you know, they can coast there. They don't really need to worry about that.
Yeah.
I mean, they must have sold like 200 or 300 Wii U's in the last 3 or 4 months.
Damn.
It's pretty grim.
Between the different territories. Yeah, I mean, at least they're bringing it to Nintendo, or to PAX, I will say. Nintendo is bringing it to PAX.
Good.
They got Kamiya doing a panel, which is cool to see.
I'm really excited about.
Yeah, they got a lot
Is he going to be taking questions from the audience?
I doubt it.
Because if he isn't, that sucks.
I hope he does, and every answer is just like a screenshot of a Twitter link to like a previous thing where he answered it already.
The person,
why
like,
does he do that?
People down.
Just don't answer the people.
I
want to
see
that?
His rig. He's got some crazy... I feel like he's got a NASA lab of like, you know, like links to answers to all his questions. Some of his links are like 7 or 8 threads back. Like link till you get to the source. He's clearly got some crazy shit going on there.
Oh, boy.
Wait, there was something else about... They were announced that Sony... struck a deal. No, that's not it. Something about Sony having like a cheaper price on certain key titles.
I don't know about that.
And one of them was, oh, here we go. Announced that digital PS4 versions of select titles will be, quote, significantly downloaded or discounted for owners of PS3 versions.
Oh, wait, like the same game?
Yeah. So like the titles named were Call of Duty Ghosts, Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, and Battlefield 4. So
wait,
if you buy it for PS3, you can get the PS4 version for cheaper.
Oh,
significantly cheaper.
That's really awesome, actually.
That'll be interesting. This is kind of unknown territory now where with the digital thing now.
Well, that'll be really great if they do that with download games in the way that like Nintendo did on Wii U. You know how you can, if you already own the game on Wii, you can get it way cheaper on Wii U, like the virtual console games and stuff.
They got to add something to it, though, or else it should just move over, right? Like,
You think it's only viable on Nintendo because you can play it on the gamepad?
Well, I mean, I think they made it worth your while. It's like, okay, we're doing this and we're doing that to it. But the stuff that you was just...
I don't think they're
going
to just give it to you for free.
Well, the stuff that you just moved over, you could just move over, right? On Nintendo, on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It has an emulator right there.
Yeah, but it's really shitty. You've got to go into Wii mode and all that stuff to play it.
Fine. Let me go into, you know, PS3 or 360 mode or whatever. All right, now let's just start going through shit rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Where are we? We're about an hour in now.
An hour and 6 minutes.
So, yeah, we talked about Xbox One. It might be out on November 8th. Might not, too. Crazy Buttocks on a Train. The guy we mentioned earlier, at least, was saying that it was not going to be, I think. Actually, a weird rumor from that man or woman.
Person.
That person, some might say, about like being able to like trade or sell digital games possibly as an Xbox Live Gold member.
Yeah, that's kind of I don't know what to think about that.
I don't know if I want that.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
The thing is like
there's got to be obviously there's got to be weird restrictions to it because I mean as somebody who I have mixed feelings about used games, right? Is because, like, on one hand, it's really awesome for me, but on the other hand, it's like
for the industry as a whole,
right? Because why would you ever buy a new game if you can buy a digital version used? Because you're not. It's not like you're getting like an old copy of the box or something. The game is the exact same thing as you get if you buy it.
Well, you wouldn't
There's
be able
nothing
to,
different about
you
it.
You probably wouldn't be able to get it day one just because nobody's going to buy it.
But still,
back.
Like, I mean, unless the publisher's getting some cut somehow, I mean, I'm guessing they probably are. Like. There's no reason for me to ever buy the new one.
The publisher would definitely get it.
There would have to be some weird restrictions, like you can only sell it once ever, or, you know, I mean, which they showed back at E3 with their previous stuff that you can do things like that. There's got to be some weird restrictions to it to make that work.
I am excited about this, and then at the same time not excited, just because, like, I can justify... the reason why I sell games back is because $60 games are expensive, and I can't just go around buying $60 games all the time. But for digital, which I usually just buy, like, indie titles, $10, $15 is not really a big of a deal. And, like, I want to give those guys all my money because they are striving to do this. This is, like, their livelihood. Well, I mean, it's the livelihood for the big guys, too. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's more direct. So, like, having a system in place that kind of robs them, I don't want to say rob, but like kind of cuts the amount of money they get, doesn't seem like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. We'll see how they, it really all depends. It's kind of hard to discuss because it really all depends on the fine points, maybe, like the little details.
I want to hear some Valve economists chime in on this because sometimes counterintuitive stuff leads to like actually more money. Like,
right.
If they get a certain kind of cut, it's like, okay, the person wouldn't have bought this game, but if they can get it, it's probably like, I don't know.
Depending on the cut they get, it could be great.
I can't imagine it happening just because it's such a weird radical step. I mean, I think you can trade games or do something. You can do that kind of stuff roughly with Steam, right? But you can't actually just sell a game.
Maybe they're, you know, one thing about Microsoft, and we've said this before on the podcast, is they are all about data. They have like gazillions of dollars into just mining pure data, and maybe there's data that says like even if you cut 10% out for the publisher and everyone else in the sales of used games, it's still worth it because they're going to get that many more sales. You
if
know,
that's
that they
the case,
have
I'm
before.
All for it. Yeah. But you know,
so Xbox One's 23 launch day games revealed in there. I think we kind of knew about a lot of this stuff or could guess it, but like Crimson Dragon exclusive.
The only one I think I might actually get, which
Dead
is
Rising
sad.
3, which we knew, but I think is still, as far as what's different between the two systems, that's probably what I would buy.
Yeah.
But isn't it like Nintendogs? You're just buying it because it's there? Like,
no,
it
it's not. It's not as bad as Nintendogs. It is something that... It
didn't look good at all at E3.
I agree, but it's something...
Sorry. Dead Rising 3.
Dead Rising... Oh, it's, God, no, yeah, no.
But I would still buy it. Like, it's not... It doesn't look... It looks like something that I could show off my new system and be like...
Yeah, this
more or less
like
happy with it, and it could be cool. I mean, I really like Dead Rising 1.
I don't think you'll be able to show off your system with that game. It looks like a current gen PC game.
Well, I would rather play that than
last gen PC game, actually.
So Killer Instinct is there. I think that's another.
It's free.
No one gives a shit.
You get to play Jago.
Battlefield 4 on both. Assassin's Creed 4 on both. There's a lot of like cool games that are going to be, you know, out on both at the start. Watch Dogs.
That's the other one that I might want to. I would never buy Watch Dogs normally, but because it's a launch game that's sort of original and different, I just sort of might try it just because it's, you know.
Yeah.
I want The Fighter Within, the Kinect fighting game. Also known as Slap Fight the game.
Rise, I think Rise is going to be their big push because it's their big, like, original first-party new franchise.
Are they trying to position that as the new Gears or something?
Oh, God, I hope not. There's no way.
That's probably, I'm sure there were some meetings where that was said. Yeah. But tell me, let's go to the PS3 side. What are your guys, like, day one PS3 exclusive games?
PS4.
What's on the list? PS4. I don't even know.
That's probably...
I went through the Xbox list and...
Telling in and of itself.
I haven't seen it yet. I did have a chance to read the Xbox list, and honestly, Crimson Dragon is the only one I actually really want to play, which bothers me because that's like an Xbox 360 game, basically. But I do want to play it. I have wanted to play it for a while, so I will probably get that. But I think that's it.
I will get that game eventually.
Most of that Xbox launch lineup is a bunch of shit that is just not in the genre that I care about.
Right. Even if this was a...
There's no list.
Really? Yeah. I knew he printed it out somewhere. But anyway.
But I mean, but there's no game where you guys are like, yeah, I saw that at E3. That's my PS3 launch game.
I don't know what game. The thing is, like, I don't want any of these games. These are all games that I wouldn't even want on the PS3. You know what I mean?
I'm basically looking up a list of PS4 launch games right now so we can actually have a reasonable conversation here.
But I think
is The Witness coming out at launch? Because I would want that.
That's the only one that I was actually kind of thinking of.
But isn't that sort of like, I mean, no disrespect, I really want to play that too, but to me that's kind of like a Crimson Dragon of the PS4. It's like it's not a next-gen game.
I don't think it's going to be ready for launch, but who knows?
Okay, here we go. Well, PS4 launch window titles revealed from GameSpot. This is only a week ago, so hopefully this is...
That'd be Gamescom, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's see. Okay, we've got NBA 2K14. Nope. Call of Duty Ghosts. Nope.
Just do the ones that
Skylanders,
will be
Need for Speed, Battlefield. Oh, I don't even know what's exclusive anymore, but... Okay, well, Knack is one, obviously. Okay.
Cha-ching! Da-da-da-da-da-cha! There is your Nintendogs.
Like, not for nothing, but I'm going to play it. I am going to play it.
Okay, that's your Nintendogs.
Really?
Yes.
I think that's better than Nintendogs.
You're putting Dead Rising over this? Dead
over
Rising
Knack?
3? Like, the most
What are you so down on Knack for? Knack actually looks like a fun platformer.
Dude,
I mean.
Whether or not you like Knack, Dead Rising 3 is, like, the creatively bankrupt, like poster.
Maybe it will be.
Dead Rising
maybe
3, Knack there's no way.
Great. Maybe Knack will turn out to be great. I, from what I've seen, it looks like super generica, so, like made to be, you know, distributed in 600 territories, non-offensive character platformer.
Yeah, black, and Dead Rising 3. Hey, you like Dead Rising, Mark? But what about Dead Rising with a brown color palette? That's the right thing.
You know, actually,
seen one video.
I've seen a few videos.
Looking at this list, Knack might be the only. Like I said, Crimson Dragon's the only exit. Right? Knack might be the only PS4 game I want to play. Assassin's Creed 4 looked. I don't care about that series, but the game looked really good.
That's on both.
Yeah, but if I'm just going to be same as this gen for me. If it's on both, I'm going PS4.
But what I'm asking is what is your like differentiator?
All that's left is PS4 Killzone, right? Title. If there's a demo, that's all I'll ever need of Killzone.
Let's just agree that as far as exclusive games, the Xbox is launching with a better lineup overall.
Well, I don't think it's better.
Than PS4.
It's the tallest midget.
Where's the Xbox list? I don't think it's better. Well, how is it better? It's just equally dismal.
Well, what are the other PS4 titles? They just don't even have ones.
Yeah, I mean, I guess not.
You got, much as it pains me to say it, some people probably care or will play Killer Instinct. People definitely will care or play Rise.
Dude, you don't think
on the other side, same thing. Killzone is the same. Drive Club is the same.
Drive Club is knocked out and then some by Forza, right? Forza is at least a franchise. Drive Club is like a new.
Maybe
sort of thing.
I would hope Drive Club is different enough because they already have Gran Turismo to compete with Forza. So Drive Club should be something different in some way that it doesn't feel like another Forza.
Yeah,
but I'm not a car guy.
Every console launch is like this. It's a bunch of third party
stuff.
Xbox
has Peggle 2.
Yeah,
you go, man. Some people give a shit about that shit.
Maybe. I think what I'll end up doing is, this makes me kind of sad, but I'll probably end up buying Crimson Dragon, Knack, and then like download some demos.
Xbox One games not region locked.
We
awesome.
Need that.
Yeah. One particular person on the internet can shut up about that, at least. knows when it overheats and self-regulates its power accordingly.
That's cool.
Wow.
I'm guessing that's going to mean frame drops, but whatever.
Call of Duty Ghosts allow cross-generation account transfer, kind of on what we were talking about. Earlier, DLC transfers to next-gen with Season Pass. So, yeah, you can buy the Season Pass and get it to go to the next thing.
That's a very nice thing to do.
Fable Legends, Killer Instinct. Killer Instinct Connect integration will help you in tournaments because it'll know your...
Because people are going to have tournaments.
hey, sorry. You never know. Fighter Within.
I heard
people have tournaments for that.
I heard that the fighting game community is really receptive to Killer Instinct.
Steve Ballmer's retiring. Developers.
I don't know if people realize how good of a thing that is for Microsoft in general.
Do we really know? I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe he's the guy holding it together.
I really doubt it.
The next guy is going to be like...
Have you ever seen a like less inspiring dude? Like, come on. Like, how could I go up there and feel
I don't know,
like inspired
dude.
To do anything
if you were
under
going at the negotiating table across from that guy, I would be like afraid
of
my life.
Because he looks like young Frankenstein, not because he's like especially like super evil or talented.
It's a combination. Maybe
I want
all
like
the above.
Steve Ballmer steps down and the new Microsoft CEO is Steve Ballmer with a goatee.
What if like Steve Ballmer like he could use his like sweat stain his like armpit sweat stains and like negotiation tactics, like if you're like locked in a conference room with that guy you would agree to anything.
Put you in
like,
a headlock and armbar.
Maybe that guy is like I don't know I'm just saying, like, you can't look into an organization like that and know the politics. Like, you know, you could look at a lot of charts and graphs that say, like, his stewardship of Microsoft has been kind of not great, but you never know. I mean, it hasn't tanked either, so.
Mm.
We talked about the 360 transferring the local currency last time. Xbox.com, PC Marketplace closing down August 22nd, pour one out. Games for Windows service ending July 2014. Yeah. Oh my God!
Say goodbye.
Calendars.
Thank
goodbye.
God, man.
White Xbox One for Microsoft employees may be sold to the public in the future. I kind of want one of these.
It looks pretty nice. Mm. I don't think it's. I think it's actually just Xbox One employees. It's not even just Microsoft employees.
Oh really?
Yeah.
It's the I made this.
Otherwise, I just asked my brother to buy one for me.
Yeah, they made one of those for 362. Dark Souls 2 beta test begins this fall. Didn't they do this and then pull it back?
This is a stress test. It's not really a beta test. Yeah.
That was going to be in September.
The applications are September, but it doesn't actually start until later. I asked Brendan about this.
Oh, okay, starting October 5th. But didn't they, North America and Europe...
And Japan.
Okay, this just says that. News regarding registration will be available starting September 25th.
I'm going to sign up just because I'm super curious what it is.
That's my birthday.
Check the Dark Souls Facebook fan page on September 25th. They promise unrelenting difficulty in the beta, which will allow you to explore an entirely new area from the game.
Really?
The final game coming March 2014. Oh, well, I mean, I new so area want to be in that only beta. Means new from the...
Do we know anybody from
the... We do.
We know people.
We have to get in that beta. We have to get in that beta.
We do. So the Japanese one was going to happen in September. I thought they pulled it, though. Weren't you saying
No, it's
that?
The same thing. It's the, you know, the signups or whatever happen okay. and then blah, blah, blah.
Yakuza Restoration... For Japan, Yakuza Ishin.
So that's a Kenzan sequel.
Yeah, basically the sequel to Kenzan.
That's pretty cool.
On an unannounced platform.
Ooh, really? I wonder what it could be.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's not Wii U after they just did like, the Wii U. Like, no. Yakuza
what,
1, 2
what,
thing.
What, yeah, I mean,
Kenzan came out.
It's got to be PS4.
Right after yeah. PS3. Yeah. So this
I mean, the
is
only surprise would be is if they did it on both, you know, PS3 and PS4.
I would think maybe Vita.
PS4 and Vita.
I think it's going to be PS4.
PS3 and PS4 and PS Vita. They cut the Vita price. We talked about that. Samurai Gun, Joe Danger, and more indies coming to PS Vita. Samurai Gun coming is pretty awesome.
Dude,
there's
I
just
want
a huge list of fucking pretty cool indie games here. They're really leveraging the shit out of.
If Samurai Gun came out as stuff. A launch title for PS4, that would be my launch title. A fucking 8-bit game.
Let's see. PlayStation 4 Party Chat works with the Vita. That's kind of interesting.
That's pretty cool.
There's a lot of weird little detail stuff about how the operating systems
I think
work.
Yeah,
and stuff
there's
going to
be a lot of stuff coming out after the
for sure.
console launches that are.
Capcom has no plans, quote, for now, unquote, to bring Monster Hunter 4 to PS Vita.
Surprise.
Yeah, it didn't surprise anybody here anyway. Wind Waker HD hits Wii U October 4th in North America. I thought this date was known.
The Japanese date was known, which
Japanese
is
Japanese date September 26th.
Yeah.
Wow, so a bunch of stuff coming out. So that one's just like a couple weeks later.
You gonna play it, honestly?
Yeah.
Really?
I'll see how far I play, but my plan is to play it. Because I haven't... I mean, I played that game 5 times, I think. And I was
Wait,
one
really?
Of only a few people I know, yeah. Who
Wait,
played
you played
it
all the way through it 5 times?
I played to the final... I played to the... final dungeon 3 times and finished it twice.
Wow.
I did not
yeah,
finish it.
I'm trying to remember why that was. It was
I
because
it.
I got the Japanese version. Which
oh, maybe you like reviewed it
for,
or something.
For coverage.
And then, right.
Then we got
us.
Like yeah, then I got the reviewable and then I got the final game.
Right.
Yeah. But and I watched speed runs of it pretty
I'm really pumped
regular,
because
so.
I think my son is going to fucking love
he
this.
He probably
game.
Is.
Oh, he will. It's going to be like a cartoon he can control.
Yeah.
It just didn't really strike me as a game I'd ever want to play twice. You know, like, I don't know.
It's been long enough.
It's
my
long
thing
enough.
Will be, like, if I can find the time.
Right, right.
But it's been long enough. But honestly, I also been watching speedruns, so I kind of remember an
didn't
idea of
didn't somebody
the
just recently break the record?
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually. So, yeah, Cosmo Wright broke his record.
Was it yesterday?
Again. Oh, that? Maybe he broke it again. I don't know. But this thing I'm talking about was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So yeah, it's rumored to be coming with a Zelda-themed Wii U hardware. I bet they'll be doing.
They
a
showed
lot
a picture
bundles.
Of it. There's
oh,
a picture.
They
of it.
Did.
Yeah.
What does it look like? Gold.
It. Do you remember the? Well, it basically has like I don't know if it's the Triforce or the Eagle thing or whatever, but there was like imagery on the actual gamepad. So.
So yeah. Earthbound was the third best-selling Wii U eShop game.
Really?
Yeah, in the U.S. last
yeah.
month, behind New Luigi, New Super Luigi U, and Pikmin 3. In
Bam.
Terms of spend, actually, which is pretty
oh, that's
impressive.
Actually great.
That's even better,
yeah.
because that means it's sold.
Bring
out. Like 5 of those is one of
come
the
come on, Mother 3. Come on.
There you go.
Come on.
Preach it, baby.
Give it to me right now.
Give it to me.
Yes.
La, la, la. Some other sales numbers. Nintendo's actually pretty good about saying their numbers. Square Enix apologizes for Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn's irksome launch. I will say, I see a lot of people. I had to actually back out of a Facebook Final Fantasy XIV friend group because people were talking too much.
Yeah.
And it was like ringing my phone and all sorts of
oh,
shit.
Oh, really? You
yeah.
have your. Okay.
No, I know. I need to get that shit taken care of. But I was like, fuck it. I'll just get
this
out
game
of this.
Is going to be fucking huge.
I see
I
a lot
really
want to
play
people.
It.
Japan is going crazy over it.
It looks
so much
good.
So that you can't play it because the servers are down.
Yeah.
It's going to get a major update, quote unquote, every 3 months.
Good. You're fucking paying money every month. You better.
You got to buy the client, too, which is a little shitty.
That is really shitty.
Level 5 announced a lot of stuff. Ni No Kuni worldwide sales 1.4 million.
That's
now,
good news for
that's
Ni No
including
Kuni.
PS3 and DS, I believe,
so
like everywhere.
Actually, made their money back, I'm hoping.
Who knows, man? Yeah. I don't know. Inazuma 11 Go, Layton 7 announced for the 3DS and smartphones.
So Layton 7, I think, is like a kind of different kind of game, right? I saw some pictures of it, and it just looked kind of crazy. I don't know.
Layton 7?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of this stuff, so I'm just reading it all.
It says like a role-playing puzzle game? Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Level 5's Wonder Flick coming to smartphones
and next-gen
consoles in Japan. What the hell is that?
It's like a... It seems like it's an RPG with like turn-based battles that you can play on your phone or your PS4.
So it's new... Oh, soundtrack by Nobuo Uematsu.
Yeah. It looks pretty cool. I don't know.
Okay, I gotta check it out. Free-to-play. Game save transferred between Vita, phone, Vita, etc. Each platform has exclusive content. Okay. Speaking of Ace Attorney, no physical release for Ace Attorney Dual Destinies in the West. I thought we'd talked about that before, but right.
But I think they probably just like put the hand down and was like, nope, sorry guys.
Rockstar Grand Theft Auto 5, some stuff leaked, right?
I think it was like, so you could preload it off of the PlayStation Store or something like that, and people got the files and decoded them, and then there were spoilers.
Okay, and those are like in the achievements.
I think so, maybe.
We won't go into that because
I don't want
to
know.
Anything. Say mostly spoil free, but point to surprises, and I'm just going to leave that. That's the Polygon.com headline. Grand Theft Auto 5 Special Collector's Editions. They come with a pistol in the games. I don't know. Whatever. there's so much Grand Theft Auto comes with 5 a news. Digital pre-order pulled from the PlayStation Store. Rockstar has no plans to sell Grand Theft Auto Online separately. That's kind of cool news. Humble Origin Bundle breaks 9 million. I saw that, actually.
A bunch of people paying $5.
Yeah, a lot of people. International attracts 999,999 plus viewers, plus JJ.
Yeah,
plus making JJ. It a million, more than a million. Audio Surf 2 launching on Steam Early Access in September.
Did you play the original Audio Surf?
Procedurally generated rhythm game. No, should I have?
It's okay. It's like a combined Wipeout with like a shooter and a...
What was that thing someone was playing in our office last week with the little like...
Oh,
That was awesome and I want one.
It was the Leap Motion is the name of the hardware.
It's like some kind of like camera thing where it like recognizes your hands above the screen.
Yeah, it's like a motion thing that...
Oh yeah, what was that? That was like a Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's called Leap Motion.
Oh, Leap Motion.
I want one.
And we were playing...
You're playing a Double Fine game or something?
We were playing the Double Fine game. It was like not Drop Shoot, but Drop Chord.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's also out on iPhone. You can play it on iPhone too, but it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Drakengard 3 delayed to December 19th in Japan.
Drakengard.
Yeah, that was
pushed back from Halloween to 19th. According to update on the site, that's that Square Enix games announced in March.
By the Nier team, for those of you who care, no, Nier, very near and dear to our hearts, no pun intended.
Are you
going to
get a Japanese Square Enix store?
I was thinking about it, actually.
10th anniversary commemoration box.
Just because I bet it's
for
crazy.
For $200.
It's probably got some crazy shit in it. Like
it's got a novel, prelude novel, DLC code, illustration by Fujisaka. Also includes Drakengard World Inside book. Yes, that's how it's said. A story that ties in Drakengard, Drakengard 2, Nier, and Drakengard 3.
Nice.
And a 24-track soundtrack featuring 8-bit remixes from Drakengard 2,
See,
Nier Gestalt, and Nier Replicant.
Nier has the best soundtrack of this entire generation. Like, I'm not even exaggerating, so really? I want it just for the soundtrack. There's not a game this gen that has better music than
I'm
Nier.
I'm trying to think.
Right, I have to listen to it.
Come at me if you disagree.
I don't know if there... I think he might actually be right.
So good.
Halo novel writer joins Amazon Game Studios. Those guys are staffing up. Eric Nyland, you might know him from Halo Fall of Reach.
Yes, the book, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I want to meet the people who like play Halo. I was like, yeah, the book was better.
King Fighters Online is now a MOBA.
Yeah.
Entering beta in Thailand.
It basically is League of Legends with King of Fighters characters.
A MOBA, the word I learned yesterday.
Yeah, MOBA. Multiplayer online battle arenas.
Ultra Street Fighter 4 producer. New characters are just the bare minimum.
So they're going to announce DLC characters, maybe?
Did they ever announce the one character they didn't announce
before?
Nope,
they can't give an exact time on when they will either. They plan to change a great deal, they said. They've gotten lots of fan feedback. About balance, and generally keep it divided into two trends. Keep it as it is, and I want it all changed out. So with this project, we decided to make it a big update, a really new SF4 in a way, which actually makes me nervous because it seems like they've actually really gotten as close as I've seen anyone get in terms of balance, just judging from top eights and stuff at fighting game tournaments.
It'd be nice if they could, like, you know, figure out a way to, you know, do the balance updates more often.
Right. Well, but you want to give people time to...
That's true. You're right.
It's a balance, right?
Yeah. It's a balance of when to balance.
Yeah. Castlevania Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate, HD.
Oh, my God.
That is a mouthful. Arriving in October for XBLA and... and guess what? It's coming out on Halloween.
Is Patrick Stewart going to read all the text for you? In a super bored voice.
There's going to be a Let's Play of that game, narrated by Patrick Stewart.
So I think he
tries not to fall asleep.
About it for most of the main news.
Really?
Yep. So,
so much crazy shit going on this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks from now is going to be like right before TGS, right before Monster Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we're going to have to, what are we going to do? We're going to be back in 2 weeks, but then we have to come right back for TGS, right?
Aren't we doing like a podcast like every week?
Our 84th podcast
is the next episode.
Is next time.
No kidding.
So that we're going to have to do September 13th. Special kinds of shit for
it's
that.
It's going to be a very special episode.
It's going to be a very special month. September's going to be a magical month in the world of 8-4.
For me, like, I've already internalized
birthday,
September.
JJ's birthday.
Yeah, that's right. TGS.
TGS.
The big party.
Our TGS party.
Our big secret thing.
Yeah. Big secret thing.
For me, September is not a month. It's just a long day.
It's a lifestyle, JJ.
It's a good way of thinking of it, because it's going to be rough. But... we're going to be here, so hopefully you guys will be here and come back.
Yes.
Until then, where can they talk to us? Holler at us as people.
You can find us at our home on the internet, giantbomb.com. We also have a thread on NeoGAF, our website, which of course we can never forget, 8-4.jp. We do read the comments. We don't really reply that often, but we do read them. I read them.
Read them all. I read them all.
Yeah. I read them.
It's actually usually just one or two guys who like troll us the whole time. It really is.
That's cool. Fine. Tell us. Troll us.
We get a lot of comments on Giant Bomb. We get a lot of comments on NeoGAF.
Yes, review us 5 stars only on iTunes. No 4 stars. Am I forgetting anything? Twitters.
Yes.
I'm me, JJ, as SPRSK.
Mark MacD.
I am John TV.
And let us know, let us know what you think of Inafune's panel. Let us know what you think of this other thing when and if it gets announced. Super special project. Tell a friend about it if it's something that you're cool and into and excited about. We're going to want to spread the word about it. But, definitely, let us know what you think, good and bad, about you hopefully always do with our podcasts and everything else.
And get ready for TGS.
That's
running out of vehicles. The TGS what is coming? Like
TGS to the bullet train.
The bullet train.
Of course, it's the bullet train.
The TGS Shinkansen.
Yeah, TGS Shinkansen. That'll be next episode, I guess.
No. Next episode is a week before TGS.
Right, which will be the TGS.
The pre-TGS.
Bullet train.
That's right. Right, okay, yeah.
So,
but then we'll be back the week later with an actual TGS episode.
We'll be back during the week, at least with two. We should do our pre and then, our pre right before pre and then our actual first day of TGS episode with some special guests and a whole lot of other cool stuff. Dark Souls podcast didn't really happen over the summer, but we got it in mind. We do have cool stuff planned for that. We are still keeping our live stream in mind.
If you want to,
it'd actually be good timing now. I'm thinking when people start getting hyped leading up to Dark Souls 2. Yeah. So
maybe in January.
So
we have until March. So
anyway, that's it. Thank you as always for listening, giving us your time. We totally don't take that for granted. We do appreciate it. Let us know what you think and all the things JJ mentioned. And I think that's it until 2 weeks from now, more or less. JJ, why don't you take us out?
We're gonna click it, baby. We'll click it right. We'll click it, baby. We'll click it all night. Click it, baby.
I thought you were gonna do the
all night. All night. Yeah, I don't know.
Good enough. All good right. enough.
last year when Vista was new. You sold the optimized desktop value. That's a pitch that never fails. You saw lots of sales, but some enterprises said, wait and see. We don't want to adopt early. Well, that's over because of SP1 and our ecosystem. If they have been waiting, no more hesitating. When they see the improvements in security, the desktop and mobility, and productivity, they'll say, this, they gotta get me some. Talk up a Microsoft application, virtualization. See what's on employees' laptops with AIS and Lambda. And there's hacker and virus detection with network access protection. And if they're not sold yet, diagnostic and recovery tool set. If they have been waiting, no more hesitating. When they see the improvements in security, the desktop and mobility, and productivity, their service, they gotta get this on. And if their CEO's laptop gets ripped off by some thief, there's no worries with BitLocker. The data's secure, and that's a big relief. Yeah.
Microsoft sales team rocks.
And we're going to keep rocking with SP1.
Rock our sales with Mr. and Mr.